And now it's time to talk legal matters. And we're talking to Twenga this morning from Alam's Attorneys. And first of all, Twenga, welcome back. Nice to have you back on the show. Haven't heard from you for a while.
Good morning, Wayne, and good morning to your listeners. And good morning to your listeners. How are you today?
Very, very well, thank you. And secondly, Twenga, congratulations on being awarded, I'm not sure exactly how the process goes, appointed as a partner at Alam's Attorneys.
Thank you. I appreciate it, sir.
And getting down to business, our topic for today, unlawful arrest and bail proceedings. What do you do if that happens?
Okay, well, in South African law, it is prevalent that before police officers arrest someone, they would actually need a warrant. However, there are certain situations where if you are caught in the act, for example, theft. So if someone is caught stealing, or there's one that happens a lot, which where people attack the SPV vans with the money heist. So you can be arrested if you're caught in the act, or the police members do believe that there's strong beliefs that you will commit the crime or you have committed a crime. So, for example, it tends to happen where there's varsity students and then maybe someone's phone goes missing. So even without searching, if police members have the suspicion to believe that you have committed the crime, then they might arrest you, and then you'll obviously go to the nearest police station. That tends to happen. However, unlawful arrest can happen, and it happens a lot where people are detained. So, for example, even in theft, where they go and then they have strong belief that you've actually stolen something. So we had a few cases in KZN, for example, where it was during COVID, where there was looting.
Okay.
So sometimes police members actually arrested people without doing their proper research. And some people actually were innocent. So it tends to happen. Luckily, Section 12 of the Constitution outlined that the police have duty to prevent crime and maintain public order. So the police are governed by Section 12 of the Constitution.
And that basically boils down to, you know, where possibly you might be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or mistaken identity. You know, I'm just trying to think of instances where you would be unlawfully or incorrectly arrested.
Well, there are situations, for example, there's been videos that have been trending on the internet where someone will be stopped while they're driving, and then police members will say, for example, they want to search the person's vehicle, and then the person refuses because there's no search warrant that is authorized for them to search, and then they actually do arrest a person, which is unlawful. However, if someone is unlawfully arrested, what they would need to do is to stay calm and cooperate with the police, because if you don't, unfortunately, members of the police can use force to effect an arrest, which there's people who have been unfortunately beaten up because they've refused to cooperate. And then what a person would need to do is also to identify the officer. You've got the right to request the officer's name and also what station they work at, so that you will need those information when you're seeking assistance later. And then it's also important to have them read your rights to you. So when you're getting arrested, police members must tell you that you've got the right to remain silent. They will tell you that you've got the right to an attorney. And then lastly, a person must gather evidence. So of everything that has happened, so it will be important when you're consulting with an attorney, whether you choose a private attorney or you choose to work with legal aid. you will be asked what had happened. So it's always important to try not forget anything that has happened. You can get a chance to write everything down so that it's obviously fresh in your memory.
Right. And but it must be a pretty traumatic experience if, you know, you kind of going around minding your own business and all of a sudden out come some burly police officers and they place you under arrest. That you probably kind of lose, you know, you're not going to really think rationally because it's something that you're probably not expecting, which obviously makes it very, very difficult.
No, definitely. But what people need to know is that there are obviously rights that govern what rights a person has once they're arrested, and it's governed by the Constitution and the Criminal Procedure Act.
Okay.
I will give out five rights that people need to know. So people have the right to be informed of the reason why they're arresting you.
Uh-huh.
So you cannot just be arrested without the police members telling you why they're arresting you. You've got the right to remain silent and not to incriminate yourself. So when a person is arrested, the state has to prove what crime they're alleging. Mm-hmm. So as a person who's been arrested, you don't have to say anything. And then a person has the right to legal representation of their choice, which, like I've outlined before, that a person can wait to get legal aid. However, legal aid, you can only get it after your first appearance in court. But a private attorney, you can call the private attorney at any point. And then a person has the right to apply for bail under appropriate circumstances. And then lastly, a person has a right to be brought before court within 48 hours of their arrest.
Mm-hmm.
The last one is very important, especially we had a long weekend just now. I read on the news yesterday that 101 drivers had been arrested for driving under the influence this past weekend.
Okay.
So what happens is that if you were arrested on Friday and you failed to pay the police bail pay the police bail, so you have to be brought before court either today or tomorrow. So the public holiday doesn't count and the weekend doesn't count. So 48 hours would start from today, which would be 24 hours, and then tomorrow.
Okay.
So they have to bring you before Wednesday. So it's important for people to know that.
Right. And that's sort of what makes it so tricky is, you know, and hopefully one would think would be a deterrent for drinking and driving especially, is, you know, just don't do it because you will possibly get caught. And if you do get caught, you'll spend the weekend in jail, which is not the place that one would really like to spend a weekend.
No, definitely. Well, even the headline, they said that they're working towards Easter. So people should be careful leading up to Easter. They will get caught. Considering the fact that the topic was unlawful arrest, if a person was arrested unlawfully, what they need to do, they can approach an attorney. Mm. They can approach us at Island's Attorneys where you can claim for compensation, but a person has to bring the claim within 3 years of their arrest.
Okay.
There is a case where a person was arrested and spent the weekend, and then they just released him on Monday without them appearing in court, and they actually got a lump sum of about 150,000. So it's always important for a person to consider that, especially like there's even instances where there's misconduct from the police where they might abuse someone physically. What policemen tend to do when they want a confession, they will use force, which is not allowed by law.
Yeah.
So even in terms of where the person is being physically abused by police members, they can still come and have a damages claim against the police.
And that's so once again it boils down to knowing your rights, and just, you know, you don't have to be a lawyer, but just kind of have a knowledge of very broadly what is allowed and what's not allowed when it comes to the law, just so that you are informed should you ever get into a situation where you might be accidentally unlawfully arrested.
Yes, no, definitely. What we'll do now is that we'll move to the second topic, which is bail. So just in case someone has been arrested, whether lawfully or unlawfully, a person has a right to apply for bail in South Africa. However, what happens is that there's obviously schedules which break down what crime you've committed. So for example, theft is schedule one, which is very petty. However, it is unlawful. You cannot steal. We've had instances where people have stolen chocolate and have been arrested, and you will appear in court. You will likely get released on warning. So there's two types of bail. There's warning, and then there's you having to pay the actual amount.
Okay.
If a person cannot afford, then you will be released on warning. However, you still have to come back to court. And then obviously, if you can afford, then they will ask you to pay. So it goes with the crime that you've done. So for example, there was a person called Bushiri. He's one of these bogus pastors. So when he was arrested, and he was a foreigner in South Africa, so he had to also put his house as part of the bail.
As a bail.
And he and unfortunately absconded and left. He went back to Malawi. So he forfeited his house. So if you don't go to court after you paid the bail money, then you forfeit your money to the state.
Okay. And it's kind of like a deposit, you know, a deposit that says that you will appear in court on said day.
Yes. It's obviously to secure your court attendance.
Yeah.
What people need to also take into account is that some trials can take up to 3-4 years. So the money doesn't get any interest. Even if you convicted and you have to spend some time in prison, you still can get your money back. So
okay.
It's just to secure your attendance at court.
And
the person will get their money.
Just a question. You sometimes see in the news, Mr. X has been arrested, and bail gets denied or declined because he's a flight risk. Obviously, that granting bail is the prerogative of the state or the police or the courts.
Yes. There's obviously cases where a person, for example, will not disclose, or the attorney, they will not disclose to the court that they have a passport or that they've got money lying somewhere. So, and then you even get instances where people have dual citizenship with another country, so they know that if you're granted bail, you're likely not going to come back for your matter. So what happens there, you can be denied bail. However, what's important in bail proceedings is that a person should disclose all previous convictions and any pending cases. They also take people's personal matters into consideration. So there will be instances where, even if your bail is denied, in law you can appeal. However, it is a costly exercise. So you tend to want to get bail correct from the onset rather than going through an appeal. Because an appeal you'll have to do at high court.
Okay. Which will take time, and you'll probably end up spending the time in jail in any case. So
Yes. So but there's also then if your bail is denied, there's something called bail on new facts. So for example, if there's many types of bail on new facts, so it could be a person while you're in prison, you start getting sick and you're literally going to die. And if people know, even Jacob Zuma uses that tactic to, so you tend to get sick and then there's new facts now for you to obtain bail. Even in a case that I was doing where the state started delaying, and then that is a bail and new fact. So what happens on bail and new facts is that you have to bring a new fact that you didn't bring in the normal bail application. So it's only new facts. So any new facts that come, then a person can, for example, it could be that you have a spouse and then your spouse loses their job and now the children are suffering. So that is a new fact. It's happened after you can't be released on those grounds to go make money for your family.
Right. So there are many, many variables, and I'm guessing that no two cases are alike when it comes to bail, who should or who shouldn't get bail. So it's for each case on its merits.
Yes, no. Even in law, each case is judged on its own merits. Mm-hmm. There is four types of bail in South Africa. There is police bail. So, for example, if people got arrested, there was a roadblock at Bronzeville Beach on Friday. So, if people got arrested there, you can spend 4 hours in prison, and then the amount was set at 2.5 at the Beacon Bay Police Station. So,
okay.
A person can, you can get police bail, but however, you obviously have to appear on Monday. So, by you getting bail at the police station, it doesn't exempt you from going to court. You still have to appear in court.
Right.
Yes. And then there's prosecutor's bail. That's for more serious cases. So, there always will be a prosecutor that's on duty even after hours. Sometimes it might be a problem getting a hold of them. So you go to the police station, get a hold of the investigating officer, and then they'll assist you with getting the prosecutor.
Mm.
And then there's Schedule 5 bail application. Schedule 5 bail application, that is quite serious. It's like, for example, domestic violence.
Okay.
So if a father and a mother live together, and then there's obviously an assault, they will have to come before court if someone is arrested. So they don't release you on the grounds that if they release you before you appear in court, you might go do the exact same thing to the other person. So a person should obviously avoid that. And then there's Schedule 6 bail application. Here, that's the highest schedule. It's for things such as murder, rape, armed robbery. So here you will have to do a formal bail application. And even when you're doing your bail application, you have to show exceptional circumstances that permit your release.
Right.
A person should avoid being caught in this because it's very, very hard to get out on bail.
Well, I would suggest that you just mustn't get involved in crime in the first place, and then you won't have to worry about bail. You know, obviously that we were talking about scenarios that do happen in life. You know, that's just, you know, what happens. But you know, as I mentioned, we watched some high profile cases where, like you mentioned, the Bashiri case, where he was granted bail, and they didn't probably take into account that he was a potential flight risk. And they thought, well, you know, he's giving his house up, he's going nowhere, and boy, oh boy, next thing he's on the next flight out. And then you had other high-profile cases where they decided there was a flight risk, and they kept the people in jail.
Yes, but you see, well, the state will obviously always take the risk. The onus is always on balance of probabilities. That the purpose of bail is to secure your attendance to court. So what people need to consider is that when you, in South African law, everyone is presumed innocent until proven guilty. So at bail applications, the law and the state, they don't have to bring the facts that have happened with the matter. So obviously, things that you focus on is that interest of justice. You focus, is a person a potential flight risk? Will the person come back to court? You know, those are things that, and will the person avoid speaking to the witnesses? So you have situations where, if, for example, a father's accused of raping a daughter. So if the father's released, the court will say, you should find alternative accommodation, because if you're in the same house, you will likely
intimidate
the child. And
yes.
So they will obviously avoid that.
I've also seen reports of cases in the media where probably domestic violence type cases, where, as you mentioned, you know, the person was kept in jail simply so that person couldn't intimidate witnesses. And there were a couple of high-profile cases as well recently where that same scenario sort of played itself out.
Yes, there was just a few weeks ago, where one of these extortion people who were extorting money came to the Eastern Cape and they had a shootout with the police.
Uh-huh.
And when I researched him, I found out that he was charged for murder in Cape Town. And then there were three witnesses. Two witnesses were killed, and then the one refused to testify in court. So he was released before they killed him. So you do get situations where people will intimidate witnesses. Yeah. However, there is witness protection where a person will obviously testify anonymously in court in order to avoid him being seen. Mm-hmm. Because if someone sees you and they know where you are, then they will obviously try attack you.
Mm-hmm.
But the state has systems in place to protect
witnesses as well. Wow, it's an interesting and tricky topic. But Kwenge, how does one get in touch with Alam's attorneys? Let's say, hypothetically, you find yourself in one of these scenarios we've spoken about this morning.
Well, we are based on 6 Sansom Road in Vincent. It's a street with Pep stores. We're based there. And then a person can call our number on 043-721-1018. And a person can also go on Facebook under Alam's.
Uh-huh.
Well, Alam's is spelled A-L-L-A-M-S. And will obviously attend to the person with the problem that they have.
Right. Kwenge, thank you very, very much. Thanks for chatting. And we'll chat to either you or Peter next week again. But thanks a lot for your time.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, sir.
Cheers then. That's Kwenge from Alam's attorneys talking to us this morning.